rapper of all time. Go!
Biggie Smalls is the illest.
Occasionally, I do something called the five-star shout-out.
Gentlemen, how y'all doing out there today? Welcome to the Side Jump. I am your host, Dennis Holmes. I am here with my co-host, Sharon Mullen, the Chocolate Girl. How you doing, Sharon Mullen?
Sharon Mullen's doing pretty good. I'm glad to be here on the my favorite day of the week, Saturday. Good morning, Dennis. Good morning. How you be?
I'm doing pretty good. Happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays.
Good morning to everybody. Like I said, today, very special Saturday as usual. We are doing a new series called The Entrepreneurship About Business. And we have a special guest in the building, Ms. Go-Getter J, a.k.a. Jay Chapman, is in the house. How you doing, Jay Chapman?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good as well. We are here to actually talk to you so you can actually tell us the ways you went through this struggle and now success to get better and better at building businesses and different business avenues that you're now going through. So first thing I want to ask both of y'all is, how was y'all week? How was your holidays? And I'll start with the guests.
Okay, yeah, my week was beautiful and blessed. The holiday was amazing. Just got, you know, a moment to spend it with family and enjoy it. So absolutely no complaints. We got through it. We did it. It was great. Yep.
That's good. I had a pretty good week. Thanksgiving was nice. You know, everybody gets together for the food and everything, but we gave thanks and we spent a lot of time with our family and we seemed to all really have a good time. Jay, you may not know this, but my family has, we've had a series of deaths in our family lately. And so this was the first time our family in the last couple of months was able to get together and celebrate and not be sad. You know, it was a special Thanksgiving, I would say. Yeah, it was very special. It meant a lot to me. Very, very grateful just to be here, be alive and to see it and experience it. Grateful for my family. I love my family. Family's everything. Everything to me. So yeah. Very good Thanksgiving. Enjoyed it. Good week. Good food too, boy. We can cook. I don't know about y'all. We can cook around these parts.
That's good to hear. We also had some good food. Good liquor. Mm-hmm. The food ran out kind of fast. The block party was big. And
so you did have a block party.
The block party was big. And then next thing you know, it started to get too cold for people. So it started to shrink. So I got a clip of that I'm going to put out with the block party.
Oh, I can't wait. What was the temperature like on Thanksgiving for y'all?
I don't even know. I know it was cold, though. It was cold.
See, it was warm here. It was 60-something degree.
Yeah, it was cool. That's what I do. Yeah. I do know it was cool. What else happened? Then, as you've seen, I was playing Family Feud. We went to another family house playing Family Feud over there. That was interesting. That was very. I still got some more clips to put out of that. That was interesting. Had a great time with my family. It's always good times and good vibes. You know, ain't nothing really bad happening. But I had a great time. I definitely had a great
time. Yeah, we had a really good time. Good food, man. Hey, did they eat the ham up?
Yeah, yeah, there wasn't no ham up.
Well, no.
There was two hams there. Wasn't no ham up.
Okay, so you got to tell the people who may not know what I'm talking about why I'm asking you about the ham. What did you say about the ham?
The closet pork eaters. You got to watch them. They eat chitlins too. You got to watch them closet pork eaters. They is ridiculous.
They claim they don't eat pork.
Every time.
See the ham gone.
The ham, matter of fact, the ham was gone before the Cowboys game was over.
For real?
For real.
You know what I discovered, though, Dennis? I discovered that some people, I don't know why, don't realize ham is pork. I don't understand it. But they're like, oh, ham is, and then they stop and think. Ham is ham. I'm like, no, ham is pork. It's from a pig. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I guess I do eat pork then. Yes, you do.
They don't say that to the holidays. My dad said it too. He'd be like, I was like, yeah, there's a couple people here say they don't eat pork. He said, those are the ones you got to watch. All of them, I don't eat pork ones, those are the ones you need to watch.
I keep saying, we got to have your daddy on the show.
Yeah.
Keep reminding you, we got to have dad on the show.
He'll be on the show.
Well, we got Jay, the go-getter, on the show today. I'm so excited for the show.
Go get a Jay on the show. She runs a mentorship program that I actually was in at one point, and I actually learned a lot of things through that mentorship program. And through that mentorship program, I learned that running a business is not something that's going to be easy, something that you can just easily pass on. It's a lot of hard work that you got to actually put into it. But I'm going to let her explain it, because I actually want to know, how did you go from the corporate world and now get to, you know, owning your own business?
Well, I owned my own business when I was in corporate. So I literally was just taking some of the tools I was learning in corporate and, you know, in time applying them to my business. But in short, how I go from there to here is, determination, a little hunger. Like, you just get tired of not creating your own space. I know for me, I got my own space. I was doing debriefings at the workplace and corporate. And then I was coming home to more debriefings because I had to talk to the babysitter and I had to talk to the nanny. And that was all before I got to my kids. And I'm like, this is just crazy. It just doesn't make sense, right? Like, I'm paying people to do what I should be doing, you know, with my newborn. I should be home. And it really just forced me out, honestly. Because like I said, the businesses had already started and I was operating them, but just not on the level of being totally independent as I am now. So it really just, it was a, you know, more of a forced hand than anything, because enough was enough. Enough was enough. I was tired of being tired and tired of really, you know, I was working the business and I was making great money, but I wasn't seeing it either, because she had to get paid, the babysitter had to get paid, transportation had to get paid. It was a lot. So, you know, you just get tired, you get hungry, you want something different, and you change when you're ready to. You change, and I was ready.
Okay. Now, what was the first business you went into?
My very first business I ever went into was NEP, Never Enough Productions. It was music management and showcasing, and we would do something called the City Cyphers. So we would, you know, I'm an 80s baby, so we would have cyphers. This is back in 2010, so it's when All Flamers were all coming up at the same time. All Flamers, Headshots, everybody. We were all doing cyphers, but mine were in the schoolyard, so kind of gave it the old feel. And was really good at that time. It was a lot going on in the city. And we were bringing artists and rappers from all different areas into the schoolyard. And it was just such a level of respect that it was always peaceful. Like whatever they had, it wasn't there. A day of, you know, peace and honor and music. So that was my very first business. Yep.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. Now, Young Bob Headshot. I know Young Bob, went to school with him.
Yeah.
And famous with Meek Mills and all that. That's pretty cool that you got all that together. I wonder if you got any footage of that. You got any footage of that?
I have footage. It's actually on YouTube. Some of it's still in the old phone. But yeah, there's some on YouTube. We've had everybody. Del P. We had Corey Wilms at one of them. I mean, Lee, Maze and Lean Bean. We've had just a variety of artists that came through some of the events. But I'm sure, like I said, there's some of them. I haven't watched them in years, but there were different artists at them. I don't know. It's kind of funny because it's so long ago, 13 years. I don't know where they are now. You know what I mean? Kind of thing, like, you know. It's just so funny. It's been so long, but yeah, we recorded it. We used to upload it on YouTube, you know, and stuff like that. So yeah, City Cypher.
That's cool. That's definitely cool. Now, how did the NEP go?
Say it again.
How did the NEP go? NEP, how did that business?
NEP was great. We used to do shows like, it's kind of what we do now, but now we do it on a larger platform with Go Getter Promotions. But we used to just want to give artists an opportunity. So we would travel with artists all over the city performing and giving opportunities. We did, shows, this, you know, back in the day. So this is at Mill Creek, you know, if you guys are from Philly, you remember, Ami that was on in Southwest, like we did shows at all the popping spots and stuff like that. And, we put out music, we put out mixtapes, we put out a lot of stuff, you know, but Never Enough Productions was just my first baby because it was my first love. I, being a songwriter, a singer at that moment, I just wanted to do music and I wanted to bridge the gap between the love for music and the business aspect of it too. So coming up before I started NEP, I was doing paperwork. I've been doing paperwork for a long time. I was doing paperwork for artists, contractual paperwork, you know, making sure their stuff was right.
Wow.
And let's kind of say it again.
How did you get into that, writing paperwork for artists?
I got into it, shout out to Abdul Chestnut. And Mr. Walker was from Jersey. Abdul was from Philly. He moved to Atlanta. He was doing bookings and stuff. And just one of my mentors, one of my brothers, he just really put me on. Like, Jay, it's a lot of artists. They need help, but they back in Philly. I'm not in Philly no more. So back then we all had a book. You know, they used to call it the Black Book. But the Black Book was of all the names of artists and stuff that you knew. So he had shared his book with me. He was like, listen, you don't got to pay for it. Just jump in and here's the artist. And it was like a list of 15 artists that were very relevant at the time. And so I would just, you know, send a call out and let them know who I am. Like, hey, I'm going to get a J, work for NEP. Just want to see if you had anything that you needed me to read over, any contracts you needed written. And first, you know, like, I don't know you. No, I ain't going to do that. And one day, shout out Chris and Eve. Chris called me and he just like, come over here, come to the studio. I need you to look over something. And it just kind of go from there, because you know, once somebody use you, they tell somebody else, then they tell somebody else, then they tell somebody else. So that's kind of how it started. But it was good work. But that's how I got into it. Shout out to people putting you on, right?
Right, definitely shout out to people putting you on. You know, one hand wash the other. But I'm glad he gave you that look. And I see you must have helped him out the right way, because, you know, it went from there. You kept getting better and better and better. It's usually how this business works. Yep. You know, you go one step at a time to get better and better. That was cool, though, man. Absolutely. Chris and Neef gave you a call and said he needs you to look over something.
Yeah, we did. Yep, that's how I started. And from there, we did a lot together. Yeah.
That is definitely. Now, what were some of the struggles that you went through with owning your own business?
Just so many, you know. As Sharon was just saying, you know, she'd been through so much loss lately, you know, just when you trying to come up, you know, you have to overcome a lot. I lost a lot of family and lost a lot of friends, and being a woman in the music industry, the magazine industry, because I had a magazine after I had NEP, being a woman in a male dominated industry, and even though when I went in I was young, I was very you could call it naive. I just felt like I was on the same playing level. But a lot of people will checkmate you and make you realize that you're not. But it only made me more hungry to dive into the learning of it all. So I had to overcome a lot. Lessons learned, you know, were just education first. Always cultivate relationships, because it's not about even who you know, but it's about how you know them, how they regard you. You know what I mean? Because if they take regard to you versus someone else, you're going to be the first call. Honor and integrity. I learned that was like the first things that you want to put first, because with that, you'll always be in someone's mind in the forefront, because not only do you do business, but you do good business. But I overcome a lot. I mean, I learned just so much, but definitely working and operating a business, there's going to be a lot of lessons, and a lot of lessons look like a lot of things. They look like separation, they look like loss, they look like hurt and heartache, but all is well if you stick in and stay focused. It works out.
That's good. That's good. Some of those things I need to learn about sticking and staying focused. That's one of the hardest things right there. Because, you know, you try to make a lucrative business, but then things ain't really working out the way it should. So now you got to go back to work and work and try to make that money that you need, and then work the business as well. And, you know, the juggling from work and working your business kind of don't give you enough time. You know what I mean? But I know you was doing it. I know you was doing it, and I was wondering how was you getting through with it. Was it killing you? You had to leave that job.
You know, I did it for 8 years, where I worked my business and, you know, worked the job. And I don't know, to be honest, if I ever did it successfully. But I did it, you know, and what's really important about it is just always evaluating. Like, constant evaluations are super important, you know, when you're trying to navigate through working and, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, becoming a successful entrepreneur. But I did it in increments. You know, I didn't do a lot of great big things, but I did what I always tell my go-getters to do, my mentees to do, is do a lot of small things great. Just, you know, if I could get 30 minutes, I'm going to make this 30 minutes rock. You know, like in 30 minutes, they about to know who I am, you know, and that's it. So I may not have done a whole lot during those times, but I have so many highlights because I did just a lot of small things. And when I did them, I executed very well.
Okay. Now, I see that you're into the restaurant business, right? And I've actually seen that you actually helped some restaurants, you know, grow, revamp, some people would say. How did you get into that?
When I started NEP, I started my business because I wanted to start an LLC, because I had my son, and one of my mentors said, well, you know, you need to start a business and this is how you do it. I was a nonprofit at the time. I did nonprofit for 10 years under Gary Maddox, who is a former Phillies player and, you know, prominent businessman in Philly, and else places as well. But when I got out of the nonprofit, and I got out for several reasons, I was operating my business, but it was slow-mo. You know how that is. And I just needed to figure out something else to do. So someone put me on to my degree, my education. They said, Jay, you could take your, you know, your early childhood education and you could use this and you could get into the restaurant field. You would be really good, because I bartended and I served damn near all my life. My cousin owns a restaurant since I was 12. I helped them. I worked there, you know, so they were like, you have a lot of experience. You don't have to go in as, you know, a manager, but you can go in as like a high level manager. And so long story short, somebody again put me on and I was like, all right, let's go to it. So I applied and I got the corporate level position, management position. And I just, again, education first. I learned that to know the ins and outs of your business. So because I knew the ins and outs of the business and I worked that for 8 years, that's kind of how I got into it. And I wanted to take that. I wanted to take the restaurant industry and be able to help people do what I do now, open and revamp their business, make it more corporate-like. Even if it's the mom and pop, still run the behind the scenes as if it was corporate. So you could see your numbers. You could see your food costs. You could see, you know, more money out of it, because I got put on it. That's what corporate was doing. Corporate was, you know, doing it that way. So I was like, you guys got to do it this way too. So that's how I got into it. And I really have a love for the restaurant industry. Like, as much as I tell myself, like, I may have only done 4 restaurant jobs this year because they're very big jobs, but I'm like, I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep doing this because I love it. I love the restaurant field. I love customer service and analytical growth and creating menus. I love every aspect of it. So it's my love and my passion, but I enjoy it. I enjoy the way that I get to do it now.
Okay. Now, one thing I do have to say is that you did teach me how to go get grant money and money that the government is giving out. You are one of the best at it, at going to get this money that the government is giving out, which is almost free money, you know. Yeah, and a lot of people who have LLCs sitting on shelves, you know, may want to hear this because they need to hear this. How is it that you started to get that grant money and write those grants so you can get that government money?
God is so good, y'all. I just tell you, and I don't want to be redundant, but shout out to my girl, Carrie, who put me on. This is why I believe, you know, God has just been so good, just elevating through someone else's experience. So when I was in nonprofit, you know, we were writing grants. Well, someone else was writing grants for the business, and I was doing another position. And long story short, I just kind of went to her office one day and was like, I want to learn how to do that. What is that, PHMC? And she showed me a packet like this thick. And she's like, this is going to take me the next 4 months. And I just couldn't believe it. I was like, why would something ever take you 4 months? Like, it's going to take you 4 months to fill that out? Every page don't got to be filled out, right? Most of that's writing and reading. But long story short, one day she showed me a grant. She let me help write it. It did take 3 months. And we were doing large grants there, you know, at the time for nonprofit, you know, nothing less than 100 grand. But that's kind of how I got put on. And then she helped me write another grant where we got a car that I could drive for free. And then I realized, oh, hold up, grants is not just for money. And I drove a free car for 7 years through Subaru, Cherry Hill Subaru. Every year they gave me the newest edition of the Subaru. It just, the agreement was that I allowed them to put on a back door a promo of a business. So the business essentially paid for it. I drove for free. The upgrades were free. The only thing I had to do was pay gas and toll. I didn't have to pay no maintenance. I didn't have to pay no repair. I didn't have to pay for anything. It was amazing. Even insurance, I did not have to pay. The company who name was on the back of that back door, pay for it. And every year I got an upgrade. So That's how I got put on. That's how I learned. That's how I got amazed by it, because it was amazing to be in it. It's one thing for somebody to tell you, you could get a grant, you could get money, you could get a free car, but it's a whole nother thing for you to live it. Like, I turned around, I sold my motorcycle and turned my car, and I'm like, I don't need to pay no, I got a free car, right? So, you know, once I just started writing grants and learning about the fact that almost every company, large company, and not just large, but like, you know, company that has some footing into it, almost has a foundation. And every foundation, there comes a grant. So I don't care if you talk about your Target, your Walmart, your ShopRite, your any market, any company you could think of, more than likely they have a grant. You just got to go and find it. It's not going to be on their same website as their business. You can't go to target.com and find out that they have grants. They're going to have another website for just their grants. Now, Walmart is wise because Walmart has walmart.com for shopping, but walmart.org for grants, right? But it's not that easy for all other companies. And that's the thing, is just the searching. So that's kind of how I got love for it. I've been getting grants since 2002. I've been, you know, getting free things for totally, you know, free, tax-free, debt-free, don't have to pay it back. And so I know it to be real. And that's why I teach it, because I want people to realize, like, you don't have to struggle. Struggle is a choice. When I left corporate and I didn't have any money, I had $80 in my bank account, you know, and that was after paying 3 months of bills to prepare myself. I lived off of grants. I had a grant for my PICO, I had a grant for my PGW, I had a grant for the water, I found a grant for everything.
That's good.
It works.
That's definitely good. Now we got a question from the fans. Ms. Martinez asked this question. What is the biggest business lesson you learned that you had no idea about when you first started?
I'm sorry, say that for me one more time.
What was the biggest business lesson you've learned that you had no idea about when you first started?
That's a good question. You know, the biggest lesson that I learned, because I didn't know when I get started, is that the same people who love you won't be the people who support you. Love does not equal support, and support does not equal love. You all right?
Man, that kind of hit hard.
Oh, shit. I mean, you're telling the truth, but
listen, even now, right? I have a lot of people who love me. But they won't repost my flyer. It is what it is. It's just the truth. It's the harsh truth, because sometimes with people, it hurts them. That hurts people. They like, how could you love me and you can't even take 2 seconds to repost 2 seconds? But you'll repost Mariah Carey Christmas song, or you'll repost Jay-Z, or you'll repost Beyonce. But love does not equal support. And that's really a tough lesson that, once I learned it, I was on, because then I knew what I needed to do. Go and get supporters and save love for later, for real. Because ain't no money in love. Nope. Mm-mm. Ain't no money there.
And love don't pay no bills. Yeah.
Not at all.
You are right about that. Wow, that was...
Yeah.
That was deep. How do you keep that separate in your mind then? How do you keep from equating it, falling back into equating it? Like, you're talking to your cousin and they say something, oh, that's great. You'd be like, yeah, but you won't post a flyer. Do you say that, or do you just think it and keep it moving? And how do you guard your heart with that?
Yeah. So First part of that is, I am very forthcoming, so I always really say what's on my mind, but it's never personal. It's never personal. And oftentimes, I don't speak business around family. I just don't. They have no interest in it. They don't really care. And it's not, again, do not take it personal, y'all. I just don't take it personal. I turned it off with loved ones, any loved one. It's no offense. Now, if you come to me and you are my sister, my cousin, my mother, you say, you inquire, I will absolutely answer your question. but I will not lead the conversation at all. I do not discuss business with family. And that's probably why I don't talk to most of my family, because to be honest, if we're not talking business, we really don't have nothing to talk about. If we're not talking stocks, bonds, investments, growth, we don't got nothing to talk about. So I, you know, I don't have conversations with many people in my family because I don't have time to waste. My conversations need to be impactful and intentful and intentional.
Amen. And
that means I need to be talking about the things that I love, and business is something that I love. But separating it is so important. As a woman, being in business and being independent, you know, I don't have a husband, I'm not married, I'm not, you know, although I'm in a relationship, I don't have that male support to be a forefront for me. So I had to learn how to deal with men and women. And I'm so grateful for the corporate world because they taught me this. But no fraternizing, just keep it forward. Keep it what it is. Keep it what it is with everybody. No terms of endearment. No, you know, side eyes. Don't look at no one like an interest at all. Like everybody I look at, everybody looks the same. I may notice that your earrings are pretty. I may notice that, hey, I like that blue hat, but I'm not going to notice too much about the individual, because that's where people get to cross the line at, you know, because now we're having personal conversations and we're mixing business with, and now we're putting ourselves, you know, it was never meant for the business to be in the bedroom, you know, and that's for every situation. So just very important. Absolutely separate so that I don't get, because I, you know, we're women, I'm emotional, let's be real, right? Like I'm an emotional creature, and I'm a Scorpio, so you know, I'm extra in emotions. Like if you play with me, you know, you finna get stung for real. But on a business side, none of that even exists with me. It's all love, it's all business. Let's get to it. What we going to do? What we doing? That's all I want to know. What we doing? What numbers we reading? What we about to do? But that helps me stay focused on the task and the goals at hand.
All right. Now, this is my last question. I'm going to turn it over to Sharon. Now, those restaurants that, like, you'd be revamping, let's just say, I think I'm for sure you ran into a restaurant like this. So I'm just going to say it. Let's just say they got, you know, hit from L&I for a bunch of violations, right? Now, how is it that you go in there and you help them fix those situations? Now, I'm personally saying this because the Jacksonville Jaguars stadium just got hit with a bunch of L&I violations, and I think they need you. Let's just get that out the way. I really believe it.
It's so important, you know, education is key, right? So with me, I dive into all the laws, and when I dive into the laws in the ramifications of rectifying, you know, liens and violations of the restaurant industry, I dive into them in all states. So a lot of times when they contact me, I always do the evaluation first. Can I help them is the question. You know, some things are beyond even my control, because if it's a case of rectifying it, meaning that I can come in and fix it, okay, you have tiles in the ceiling that are stained, we can replace them. You have grout that needs to be refinished, we can get that done. You have a Hobart machine that wasn't clean, cool. You had mice droppings, okay, we just got to get pest control out here. There are certain things that can be fixed. You got employees without serve safes, I got you. But there's some things, some violations that absolutely, takes one longer to fix so that we can help you reopen, and two, maybe without control. And the kid depends on if it's food or liquor, so it's very important to understand the difference. If it's food or if it's liquor and it's a health code violation, right? L&I is different than a health board. But if it's a health code violation, meaning someone got sick, someone died, anything like that, it gets a lot harder. Or if you are a repeated offender, there was a restaurant on Delaware Ave, I called, they called, I helped them two times, but they were repeated offenders. By the fourth time when they called me, shout out to Chef Millie, said they need your help again. I'm like, dude, I'm not even gonna take their money because I can't help. And sometimes I can help, but don't even wanna help because my name goes on a lot of reports of reopening and fixing. And sometimes you don't even want your name to be associated with certain things. So it just depends. But you know, to answer your question, education, I keep myself very abreast with the health code, the, you know, food code violations to know what's going on so that I can help. And, you know, I've had to help people out of some easy places and some dark places when it comes to this restaurant thing. It just depends.
Yeah, I seen you revamp a couple of restaurants almost like you was bar rescue. I was like, well,
yes. Absolutely. Yeah. I joke with my family, my immediate family here. I say, oh, it's time to go revive another restaurant. I'm like, it's time. We're going to go revive another restaurant. Yes. Yes. It's a job. It's fun. It's fun. I love it.
That's good. That's good. Sharon, this is on you, Chocolate Girl.
Okay. How did you come up with the name of your business, your company? Go get a J.
Go Get It Enterprises. Once I wanted to get out of NEP, I really just wanted to find something that described me and who I am. I wanted people to listen to my name and to know exactly, like, for it to be easy. I didn't want to have to do a pitch, and I didn't want to have to do a whole explanation of who I was. Mm-hmm. So I literally looked up three words that I knew I was. Or that I had integrity, ambitious, and charismatic. And so ambitious came up next to as a ambitious, and I looked up all the synonyms for them. So when I looked up ambitious, go-getter came up. And I was like, that's it. I was like, go-getter, just go-getter everything. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna have apparel and I'm gonna be go-getter and all my teammates are gonna be go-getters. And and that's just how it came up. Literally, I looked at the attributes that I already possessed. And looked up a synonym and that was it. And it was Go Getter ever since then. It was Go Getter Magazine, Go Getter J, it's Go Getter Enterprises. I wanted people to easily understand who and what I was, even if they didn't know what I did.
Now that's a great story. Great choice of words too. Now, do you still have the Go Getter Magazine or is it still just Enterprises and you don't really do the magazine now?
Yeah, I don't really do the magazine, but so shout out to putting people on. I had a friend who put me on years ago with the music industry, and so he wanted a magazine. So long story short, I gifted him my magazine when I was ready to get up out of it in 2014. And he kept the name for a while, and then he ended up changing it, but I gifted him my magazine. So that's kind of what happened, yeah. So I don't use Go Get Magazine anymore. It's just Go Get Our Enterprises. And we still are able to do some of the things that we were doing in the magazine, but yeah.
You think you'll ever bring your magazine back as another vehicle as part of your business?
I consider it sometimes. I do, because I love what it did. It integrated music, business, and entrepreneurship. But I don't know. I think about it sometimes. I think about bringing so many things back that I've done. I've been able to live six lives. I swear to you guys, I literally had every job. I've had every job that I ever wanted to have, whether I got the job from someone else or created it myself. I'm so blessed. I did a podcast for 2 years. I did a radio show, having a magazine for 4 years. It was just amazing. Some things I think about, you know, running back, but I'm not quite sure.
Well, you know, I'm a writer, so just let me know.
All right. Yeah, we had a host of writers. Writers, yes, that's so important in having a magazine. Yes, I will keep you.
But at one particular time, you were talking about how you were working in corporate and doing your own business as well. How did you balance working in a corporate job and running your own business, especially when you were first getting it off the ground? How do you balance that?
I think time management, back then I didn't have the time management that I have now. I'm much better now. Mm-hmm. But time management, understanding the use of time, I think the use of time and time management are seemingly the same, but a little bit different as well. I do things in between doing things. Like, you know, if and I use this in a corporate role too, but you know, once you put your bacon on and then you could put the toast, you could drop the toast at the same time. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not multitasking, but it's like a bilingual language almost, you know?
Right.
So in between, you know, doing something, as long as it doesn't take your conscious mind, you can do something else. And it's not particularly multitasking, because I can't multitask. Doing two things at once is absolutely just, I'm against it. So I definitely just learned to manage my time. I learned to separate. I learned to remove things from my life that aren't fulfilling my future. I gave up TV in 2010. Somebody just like, you got to give up what you don't, what doesn't serve you. And I never was a big TV person because my mom never really let us watch it anyway. So it just was easy. And eventually I ended up giving up the radio. I do everything intentionally, meaning if I want to listen to a song, I listen to it. I don't let someone give me what they want me to hear. So I don't listen to a traditional radio station. I will go and play the very song that I would like to hear.
Right.
or go and watch the very news. Yeah, I'm not just watching regular news. Nope, I want a specific story. I am going to my computer. I'm looking up that very specific story. I don't need to hear everything that's going on in the world weather as well. So just becoming very intentional has helped me be able to multitask working a job and, you know, operating my business, and now operating my business and operating several businesses. So just always, you know, it's not easy, but having some type of discipline and motivation has really guided me.
Talk more about that anti-multitasking. Why is it that you do not believe in multitasking? Because that's very interesting to me.
Because the art of procrastination.
I'm asking.
Yes, because the art of procrastination is not completing a task. Mm. And the best way to not complete a task is to try to complete another task while you're completing the first task. Multitasking. You're not getting nothing done. My subconscious mind is so focused on you and Dennis right now. If I pick up my phone and I try to make a post, the caption's not going to be right, because that also takes my subconscious mind. It takes my consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult to do. So I get a lot of people coming to me and say, Jay, I want to do more, but I just feel like I'm not doing nothing in my day. And a lot of times you're not doing nothing in your day because you're trying to do too much. You end up everywhere for everything and nowhere for yourself.
Mm.
So I'm against it because you end up doing nothing. It puts you in a place of nothingness, and nothing equals nothing equals nothing. And I'm against it. I'm like, if you want to get something done, you just got to do it. If I want to show up and do this interview with you guys, guess what? I came up to the bedroom. I can't go down to my desk where I normally work because the kids are down there and I'm going to be distracted. So you have to focus forward on what you want. So I'm against it just because I feel like the art of multitasking is really procrastination. You're never going to get anything done. So if you have a grant to complete and you have to do the lab, you don't try to do the grant just because I'm on a computer. Oh, I'm going to try to figure the grant out too. No, two things that take your conscious mind will never get done at the same time. So just prioritize. Okay, well, this is until this time. And then I'm going to do the grant right after. I'm already separated, right? I'm already in a quiet place. I know the grant deadline is the 26th, 11:59 today. As soon as I get off with y'all, I'm gonna go do the grant.
Right, right. Because you know, a lot of people get caught up in that multitasking. And I will say in one of my professions I've been in, multitasking was absolutely necessary to get the job done. Well, what I discovered is that, yes, I got a lot of things done off the checklist, but was it excellent every time? Not always, because you cannot, the human brain just doesn't function like that. And I'm gonna be honest with you, I felt this way, but I never saw it validated anywhere until recently. And I read business articles all the time. And there was an article on some research that was done specifically on multitasking and as it relates to productivity in the workplace. And they found those that incorporate multitasking actually were less productive.
Less productive, absolutely. Productive in corporate. And that's why I moved up fast. I mean, I went from making 60 to 100K in one with one business because I would get so much done. And people were like, you're getting the same 12 hours as we did. We worked 6 to 6 shifts, 6 a.m., 6 p.m., 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. That was the shift. That was the business. That was it. And my millionaire boss, Ed Scannapicchio, would say, I don't know how you do it. But it was just do one thing at a time. I come in, I check email, I give myself 15 minutes. I go in, I do this, I do this. It's one thing at a time. I cannot check the bathrooms and check email at the same time.
But when you were doing those things one at a time, you were focused. You weren't doing, you were not
doing them
intentionally.
Extremely well.
Yes. And you were not like doing checking the bathrooms. You're gonna go check the bathrooms, but on the way, you're checking the tables and making sure the salt and pepper. No, you're not doing that. You're going to the bathroom. You're gonna check the bathroom. Then I'm gonna check the salt and pepper shakers. Then I'm gonna do this. I used to be in the restaurant industry too, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
But my employees love me for it because guess what? We passed the inspection. That means now the boss is happy. He's giving out bonuses. My bonus trickles down. Everybody's getting more money. When I go ask for gift cards for every cook, guess what? He says yes. When I ask to spend $2,000 on gift, he says yes. So I'm giving out $50 gift cards, not for the holidays, just because we just passed an inspection and y'all deserve it. Right? It's simple stuff, but my employees love me for it. The managers love me for it when they understood it. And it made sense. My table check was not a regular table. It was no one else's table check and they didn't understand that. But if you understand it, you understand that this table being gum free, right? And staying that way, you don't have to get ready. When inspection come, you're already ready. And I tell people this when I help them out with their restaurant, keep your staff in the front line at all times. Mm-hmm. Keep them ready. Don't make them have to get ready. Don't put them in the mind of getting, stay ready. Every day is inspection day. And that was kind of one of the things we live by, very important is always just do one thing at a time, one thing at a time. Mm-hmm. That's it, that's all. And when you do, like I said, just a lot of small things, great. And it equals to be such big things. People who have come to me, I never imagined. I'm like, how did you find out my name? How did you? I stopped wondering after a while. I just was like, listen, I wouldn't even be surprised if Barack Obama called, child, because I just be like, some names, I'd be like, oh, wow, okay, all right.
You just never know, especially now.
You never know.
Especially now with social media and so forth. It's just, you never know who's knowing about you. I have people that listen to my podcast overseas in Germany and Denmark and, places I didn't even know about. And I'm thinking, how do you even know about my little podcast?
It makes, speak a whole other language, right?
I have all of 30 followers. How do you know about me? But they do.
Yeah, absolutely. But, they're watching. Let's believe it. I learned that about life too. They always watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll say something else, but I'll tell you after the show about that watching part. But anyway, what is, as new business owners, I know we have some people watching right now who are probably interested in going into business. So what is one of the most critical things that new business owners don't do, either because they forget about it or they don't know they even need to do it when they're first getting started?
Their paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is just so, they're just taught so wrong. They're taught the poor man's copyright and trademark. And so they don't think they need to really file with the Department of State or the USPTO, but they do it wrong. In my first year of revamping, when I revamped in 2018, I encountered over 200 businesses that I had to do LLCs for who had been in business for 3 to 5 years and they didn't even LLC their name. And I encountered over 30% of those businesses couldn't get the name that they had been operating under because they waited too late. Somebody else already had the name.
Yeah, that's a fear. That's a fear of mine. I need to get on the ball with my own because I tell you, the names that I have are good ones. So I need to go ahead and get them done.
The worst feeling is to be operating under somebody else, to really realize that I've been putting somebody else on. I had a company, she has a candle business, and she was like, Jay, it keeps saying people coming to my Instagram. She said, I had 3 people come to my Instagram, tell me they was going to order. And the one lady followed up and showed me the imprint of her order. She said, but there's nothing on my website. What's wrong? And I helped her create a website. Mm-hmm. She said something was wrong with her website, but no, someone else had the name. So when they Googled the candle company, another person, they weren't typing in www.candles.com. They were just going to candles.com and someone else was coming up and it's the same name. So people would just click them and they were shopping.
And buying their candles instead of hers.
And buying their candles. And she reached out to the lady and she said, no, I didn't get your order. I don't know. The lady had spent almost $60 in candles and she didn't get any of it because the lady got her candles, but they were from another company.
Right.
And she was so hurt. And she's like, this was last Black Friday. She said, I did all this work to generate and pour into someone else. She even called the company. They were in New Jersey. She's in Philly. They were in New Jersey. And she's like, I had a couple of people who ordered from you that meant to order from me. And, you know, I just told her, I said, I mean, what do you expect? Like for them to turn over the money?
Nope. They can't do that. No, they're not going to do that.
It's a legit order.
I mean, that's a really good thing to remember though. And it is very important, the paperwork. So when they're getting started in their business, what's the first 5 things you tell them to do? Like the first 5, you want to start a business. They come to you and say, hey, I want to start a business. I'm not even really sure what I want to start, but what's the first 5 things that I need to do?
Trademark your name so that you can own it, own the rights. Trademark is the only way to own the rights to your name. Mm-hmm. I know everybody, every guru online is teaching about LLC because that's the money play, right? But there's no point of getting the money, violating and infringing upon someone else's brand potentially, and then you end up owing them. You just got money. There's somebody told you how to get $100K and now you owe $50K in a court cost because somebody says you made money off of my name. Trademark the name first, then LLC it. That's registering it with the Department of State so that you could separate your personal assets from your business assets. Then get your EIN. Do not go and get an EIN for a business you have not LLC'd and trademarked, because then you go get the EIN and you realize you can't get that. At least you have proof that you own the actual business and business name. So if somebody already got that EIN, you can get the IRS. The IRS will overturn their EIN and give it to you. But if you do it the other way around, you could lose your EIN. So trademark, LLC, get your EIN. Open up a business bank account, please. If you want to separate your personal assets from your business assets, do it in its entirety, right? Separate your business money from your personal money. So get a business bank account and register with Dun & Bradstreet so that you can start building your credit worthiness and your credit score for your business.
Wow. That's the first 5. That's the top 5. We're gonna call that the go-getter top 5.
Yeah, you gotta do it. I'm telling you, this you know, there's no point in getting the bag if you're gonna fumble it, right? Don't fumble the bag after you get it. So yeah, I can show you how to get 30,000, 50,000 with one LLC and get another LLC off of those LLCs and put it in a trust and then create a holding. I can show you how to do all that, but to do all of that on such a scale of only the state level and not take it to a federal level would never make sense. Because again, now if I go trademark your business name,
and I send you a cease and desist letter and send you a court order for earnings that I felt that you made off my name, and I went in court. You just got $30,000 for three LLCs, $90,000, and I just sued you in court for $100,000. You in a hole. You owe me money. It doesn't make sense to go get money that you really don't even own. So own the whole entire bag so you don't fumble it. You want the bag, go get it, but get it and keep it.
So you really need to not even start until you get those things in place. Just don't even start.
You know what? I'm gonna be very transparent. I wouldn't say that you don't need to not start.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always say start exactly where you are, because I think that's important too. Because a lot of people will hold up on the business because of the paperwork. What I will say is work it and make it make sense. A lot of people will make their first $100 and they want to spend it. But you have to put it into the business. And now that so you can go and make money, I think you should. But I don't think you should be operating more than 6 months. Without your paperwork. I say, go ahead, jumpstart the business, do it from Instagram, do it from wherever you started. But when you're ready to do your paperwork, make sure all the names are one available and that they match. So state, federal, and local, make sure that they're available on all platforms and that you can get them, right? Mm-hmm. And make sure that it makes sense. But definitely, I definitely wouldn't pause on the starting because, again, you know, the art of procrastination is simply not completing a task. So go and complete it. Go get it done. If you have an idea, breathe life into it. Go. But 6 months is my max when I say to my mentees, all right, now you're playing. I know you made $250 in 6 months. I don't care if you made $5 a day. You made $250 and it's really time to take that and do something with it. So I was say start where you're at, but no more than 6 months before you go and legalize and structure your business.
Good tips. Very good tip. How do they check to see if a name is available at the local, state, and federal level? How do you do that?
So you need to go to your Department of State. So every state has a Department of State. North Carolina has it. Pennsylvania has it. New Jersey has it. And you need to do a search for a business entity. You just look up the name. If the business entity, you know, is, you know, the chocolate writer, you type it in. If it comes up available, great. And then you go to the USPTO.gov and you check it as well. If you check those two sites, you're good. The last place you want to check again is the IRS, but you need to file in order to know if the name is available. And it's you know, I know I don't want to make it seem like it's simple, but it's a fairly easy task. But always check the availability of your name with the USPTO and your Department of State. You don't want to check the Department of State, say, aha, it's available. And then you go to USPTO and it's taken, you know? So very important to just pay attention to that. Always think outside the box. Back in the day, a lot of people used to say, oh, don't do your name. I absolutely say that your name is okay. One thing for certain, two things for sure. If it's not, you know, David Miller, which is so common, you know your name is going to be unique, more than likely, right? So if your name is unique, you know that it's going to be more than likely available. A lot of people aren't trademarking names, right? They're not trademarking Blue Ivy and, you know, St. West and you know. So your name is always an easy go if you don't know what else to do with your name. And remember this too, is that you can always make changes. Always change the name of the entity whenever you're ready, whenever you so see fit that, okay, you know what, I see another vision for this.
Okay. All right. So right now we've been through this pandemic. I guess we're still kind of in it, right? But before the pandemic, you were doing your live events. And then I would assume during the pandemic, you had to make that switch to doing the virtual. How easy or difficult was it? And what was the biggest thing that you learned in having to switch up the way you do your events?
Yeah, definitely had to pivot. we were shut down March 13th, and I had a show in Atlanta, Georgia scheduled for March 19th. So not even a week notice, I had to contact all the artists and all the hosts and the venue. You know, of course, the venue knew, they were contacting me. But, you know, just let them know, like, yeah, we're going to have to schedule and repost the, you know, everything and so on and so forth. I learned to really put everything in writing. Even more, you know, I've been doing paperwork for so long that even I can get very basic. You know, you're just like, oh, I'll use what I always have. But with the pandemic, a lot of new things came about, and I needed I had to revise all of my documents to include certain things that will come about within only the pandemic could bring about, you know, only a shutdown like that. You know, so I had a lot of dealings and a lot of business and a lot of events, and we were headed out on tour. And a lot of places were strapped for cash. So they were trying to keep as much money as they could. Mm-hmm. But as a small business owner, I'm like, listen, you got 500 of my money, you got 700, you got 1,000, hold up. And we don't know when this thing is going to end. This is kind of crazy. So put it all in writing, get it all structured, restructured, and really hone in on the specifics. It wasn't easy. It was so much of a task, but thankfully and gracefully, we were able to work it out by March of 2021. We were back in Atlanta performing, having live concerts, and everywhere. We went to Vegas, we went to Texas. Shout out to you might as well and his whole camp. They came to Texas with us, Atlanta with us, Philly with us. They traveled wherever we were that year. Everybody was trying. They were trying to perform. So yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, this is my last question before I turn it back over to Dennis. But solopreneurs, you know, you got people who are do partnerships, and you might have a team of people go into business. But most of the people that I know that start businesses is just them. It's just one person. Yeah. And they're not starting this with anybody. Just like myself and a couple of the people I know, we just decided this is what we were going to do. Right. And we decided to do it on our own. So if you're a solopreneur, things have to get started a little bit differently than, let's say, if you had two people or several people getting together to form a company. What's the biggest difference in that? Besides, you're going to be more tired because you're doing it all yourself. It's all your brain power, all your physical power. But what's the biggest difference?
Really, growth. I mean, you're going to lack growth if you're trying to be the solopreneur. I understand it and I get it. And I even understand that a lot of us look like solopreneurs, but are not. You know, I am literally the face of go-getter, but baby, let me tell you, I do not do this alone. I could not do this alone. So, I guess I would just say, you know, just, yeah.
Just. And that, how do you start to trust to let it go to incur? Because once it gets so big, you can't do it on your own. You really can't. Absolutely. You're going to need a team of people. How do you flip that switch to say, okay, I want to bring this person on and this on because I can't possibly keep up with all of this.
Yeah. Once you understand the need for growth, right, you don't want to, you know, I ask my clients this. If you had to stay in the position you are in, making the money you're making, working how you're working, would you be able to do it for the next year successfully? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is no, you have to understand growth and you have to make that change for growth. You need to do this with more people. Again, I know I look like I do it alone, but I have employees that support me. My employees used to support my client and I learned a lesson. And so now my employees simply only support me. They do my research and the things that I don't want to do, the things I know tire me out, the things I know drive me crazy. But if I did not have two employees, I would not be able to do so many things. But if you want growth, if you really want elevation, you almost need to collaborate and partner with someone. Something has to give because we cannot do it alone. I'm so grateful that I've never done it alone. I've never had to do it alone. When I had the magazine, I had four writers, two assistants, one personal assistant, a babysitter, and a nanny. Everybody had to get paid. You know, it's just, I had to, you know, right. But doing it alone is, it's the same thing I say about that whole syndrome, you know, with the Black woman, the strong Black woman. Like, we don't have to be what society tells us to be. Guess what? There's no entrepreneur who's making 6, 7, 8 figures who's literally doing it alone. There's no one. There's no one, no woman, no man. If they tell, they're lying. I'm gonna tell you that. Not making money, you're not growing, we're not. So if you really want that aspect of growth, you have to find someone who's willing to assist you. Shout out to my sister and my son. I mean, they help too, you know, she works, but if we go pass out flyers, the whole family is in the streets passing out flyers. Me, my son, my niece, my daughter, my nephew. We all passing out flyers, but you alone is really the broken mindset that I want people to remove, because I'm gonna be very honest, it's damaging. It's just like being in a relationship alone. It's just like working a job alone when it's a whole team around you. I don't advise it. I have been there. But I was there and I was in a hospital and I was hospitalized and they couldn't understand what was wrong with me. And they gave me every test and they still couldn't figure out it was just stress. Trying to do it all on your own, trying to be the strong individual and trying to hold on. I don't hold on no more. I give up. I literally, when I say I let go and let it give to God, I give it to everybody else. Can you do this, please? I learned to ask for help. Excuse me, can you do this? Can you do it alone? Not if I want to do it big, not if I want to do it right, and not if I want to do it well.
Good answer. Very good. All right, Dennis.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I had another question. I'm sorry about that. I had one more question. I wanted to ask you about your Airbnb business that you had going. How did that get started? And what, you know, people out there who's inquiring about Airbnbs, what would you tell them?
How did it get started? Grant money. I got a $10,000 grant. I always say it's very important to have a plan for your money. And really, right before it got in my bank account, I was like, I don't got a plan for it. I'm going to figure it out. And so shout out to a dual chestnut again, 13 years later, right? Still put me on. He was like, Jay, I got something going on. And he's in Atlanta. And so I was like, all right, what you got going on? And he had just bought a venue. And he was trying to advise me to put my money into a venue. But at the time, I was like, I don't want to do that. Give me something else. Tell me something else. And he's like, you know, everybody doing them Airbnbs. And I was like, oh, that sounds good. So I just really dove into it. I went and found a home on sylvanhomes.com. Sylvan Homes is amazing. They have homes for lease, and you can resublet them, release them, lease them on Airbnb, so you can get a home without owning a home. And you can Airbnb a home without owning a home. So I really like them. I went through all the credit stuff and I got a lease. My first lease was for $1,195 in Atlanta, Georgia, in College Park, 4-bedroom, 2-bath, 1-story home. If you guys know me, you know I like ranch styles. So it was a ranch style house, and I absolutely was in love with the cost and everything. And I just went through the steps of, you know, I had the money. So I went through the steps of getting everything I needed for the Airbnb. I made some mistakes in the process a couple of times. And literally, I'm gonna be honest with you, Dennis, I was only in Airbnb for like maybe 3 months before I transferred over, because I constantly, when I get into a business, I dive all in. So I wanted to learn everything about short-term rentals. So I'm reading every article that's coming out of Forbes, every article that's coming out of Business Magazine, every article that's on Google. I'm reading every short-term rental article you could find. And I'm realizing that short-term rentals, Airbnbs, are everything. They're for veterans. They do them for homeless. There's programs that will pay you to house homeless. There's programs to pay you to house veterans. There's programs to pay you to house nurses.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm thinking like what I want to do. So I was like, I want to do the nursing. That sounds like good, because I felt like they're, you know, nurses are people who they just want pay us to sleep because they work and they're tired. They do 12-hour shifts. Both my sisters are nurses. I have a slew of friends that are nurses. So I was like, nursing.
Right.
I did the nursing thing, got straight onto the site. And once I did everything I had to do to get onto the site, I got a nurse in there. And she rented for 8 months. She closed out my lease. Because I only did a 1-year lease to see how it was going to go. And she closed out my lease. I did 3 months of Airbnb, 1 month of finding her, 8 months of her being in there. And it was amazing because they paid up front. She never had an issue with, like, I saved money on cleaning. Because I had the same person in there. Mm-hmm. I didn't have to clean and come out and clean and come in. So I transferred the cleaning company that I had into a cleaning house that cleaned other Airbnbs and other type of facilities in Atlanta the way I had one, so that I could still keep the people who were employed for the cleaning employed. But that's really how I got into it. I got a grant. I didn't want to blow it. You know, I know what it's like to fuck up $100,000. So thank God, you know, I've learned my lessons and I just wanted to do something good with the money. So that's what I used that grant on. That's how I got into Airbnb. And now we, you know, we're in Philly, we're in Atlanta, looking to do a little bit more, looking to really do Airbnb in a different way this coming January, where we Airbnb to vendors and people of business who don't want to commit to a lease, a 1-year lease, or who can't afford it. And they just say, listen, I just want a couple hours a day, you know, so we're kind of going to change the game a little bit with that. So, yeah.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good. I just want everybody out here to notice that she went and got a grant and didn't know what to do with it. That's how many grants I told her she went. And she went and got a grant and didn't know what to do. Just want everybody to know that, all right? It's like, you ever want to know about grant writing? You go hit up, go get a J, all right? She got a grant, didn't even know what to do with it.
I didn't want to blow it, man. My kids love to travel, and I'd be like, my daughter, she'll make a plan for that money real quick. She'll make a plan. And I just was like, we not doing that. So, yeah, I just wanted to do something with it, to be honest. So I'm glad I got into that. Again, shout out to, you know, people who are not afraid to give you a little bit of space within their space, you know, who could just put you on. And that's why I am the way I am. I just want to put people on, because if you listen to the people, that's, you know, I think anybody who ever put me on, they got me right. Whether it was a win, lose, or draw, I ain't always won, you know, but I always gained good experiences from listening to the people around me. So
yeah, that's good. That's definitely good to hear. And shout out to the people who put you on, like Abdul, who's been helping you out for years. Shout out to him. Dual Chestnut. Got to meet up Dual Chestnut. I need to see what that venue looks like. That's what I need to see. But besides that, do you have any last words that you want to tell the people? Where they can contact you at? How can they be a part of your Go-Getter Mentorship Program?
Absolutely. Everything is Go-Getter J. GOGETTERJEA. On all platforms. Everywhere. The website is gogetter.us. And as far as reaching out, you know, really whatever you need, if you guys are looking for grants, looking to get into Airbnb, looking to get into vending machines, or just need a, you know, to talk to someone who knows something about business, just contact me, DM me, email me, you know, send a text to the business number. And we're here. As far as the Go-Getter Business Alliance, which is our mentorship, I'm excited. We're actually dropping a sale today at noon for 2023. So those of you who are interested, save a whole lot of money. The group mentorship is amazing because, as Dennis told you guys, it teaches you about business and it gives you a place, a safe place to learn about business. Google University and YouTube University is not enough. You need somebody who got some skin in the game. And so not only do you get me when you get the GBA, but there are other members and other businesses that you get as well. So the networking aspect, super important, because we have people in the GBA from Philly, Jersey, Atlanta, California, Texas. So you're learning and growing. People are telling you about what's going on the West Coast, what's going on in the Midwest. And that's that's almost invaluable when it comes to paying for something. Because you can't gain that type of access just anywhere. But with the GBA, because we have members all over, it is here. So definitely, if you guys need mentorship, get on in. Don't miss the opportunity. The sale drops noon today.
Yes, yes. Your good girlfriend, Monique Holland, is in the comments. Yes, say thank you for having her. No problem. I was going to get her on last year, but she looked real busy last year, so I had asked her now if she was available. So I noticed the fourth quarter. I know she go by quarters. You know, January starts the first quarter. This is the fourth quarter.
This is Q4.
I pay attention when I'm in class. I know.
Yeah, he knows me well. Yes, yes. You know I go by quarters.
Q4.
But like I said, thank you guys for having me. Well, Shan, you got any last words, Shan?
Yes, I do. First, I want to say thank you. Thank you for coming, Jay.
Thank you.
This was very, very informative, even for me. I learned some things. I always learn some things, which is one of the reasons why I love doing this show every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. with Dennis on the side, Joan. When we first started the show, I didn't know what it was going to turn into, but it's been very rewarding and very informative, and I thoroughly enjoyed this talk with you this morning, but which leads me to my thought for the day that I like to give out. You know, on Saturdays, you were talking about getting things done and just going on ahead and getting started, even though you don't have your paperwork in order yet. Still get it, but don't let it squash your desire to get started or your joy or your momentum. And so here's a quote that I've said before and heard many times. We don't even know who said it. There are 7 days in a week, and someday is not one of them. So that is what I have to hold on from our talk today, because I am one of those that's guilty of, well, one of these days I'm going to do that. Someday I'm going to do that. I am that chick. That is me. That whole procrastination thing that you talked about. Oh my God, you spoke to me today. And, there's a lot of reasons why I'm that someday chick, but those are the things that I'm working on so that it can be today. So that's what I'm just going to leave with the people out there. There's 7 days in a week, and someday isn't one of them. Keep that in mind and just go do it. If you want to do it, just get to it. That's it. Back to you, Dennis.
Yes, I want to thank everybody for coming out tonight or this morning. I'm sorry. I want to thank everybody for coming out this morning. One thing, go get a Jay for giving us her time. Yeah. Her time is right. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, God bless. Great day.